So welcome to another episode of the Walking Down Sheepfoot Lane podcast. We are joined by bin man and former Oldham and current Burton assistant manager, Dino Manria. How's it going, lads?
I'm all good. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
No, you're welcome.
It's a good chance for me probably to say goodbye to some of the fan base. I had a real connection with them. And you know, this circumstance, I didn't really get the chance to say a proper goodbye. But you never know in the future. Hopefully, I'll come back to Boundary Park, whichever capacity, and hopefully we'll say a proper goodbye. But this is an opportunity at least to say hello to you and to say kind of goodbye to everybody and thank everybody for the support and the backing that I've had from all the Athletic fans.
Brilliant. All right, Dino, let's get going. So how did you come into to football, Dino? Obviously, at a young age, we all love football at a young age, but how did it take off from, your playing career?
Well, I think I think it's been widely broadcasted, my journey in terms of, where I came from. I was from the south of Tunisia. I grew up, 1978, where Tunisian national team did well in the World Cup. And probably all that generation, my generation, fell in love with football, late 70s, early 80s. And I, as far as I can remember, I want to be a footballer. And obviously my journey is, I end up playing for the top teams in Tunisia. And then I got the chance to go to Europe with Burnley Football Club. And then I came to Burnley Football Club in 1995, 96, I think. And obviously my journey, I played a few clubs in England and then I started coaching and managing. I started coaching at a young age from Burnley Academy and then progressed through to first team level. And I am what I am today.
Right.
Obviously, did you always want to be a coach when, obviously you said there from a young age, did you always want to be a coach managing side once you did finish playing?
I think when I came to Burnley Football Club, I had an injury to my ankle, which has kept me out for 18 months. And it was really difficult time for me because I came from totally different culture, different country. It was very different back in mid 90s. Now there is a lot of foreign players. There is a lot now. Back then there is very, very little. And obviously I was only foreign players in Burnley Football Club dressing room. Yeah. I had my injury and then I wanted to embrace the British culture, the English culture, the language, the football language. And I asked the club if I can, I'm not playing, I get my treatment, keep myself fit in term of training. But I asked the club to join their academy and started coaching. When I started coaching, I wanted to understand the British culture. British football is very different to where I come from. And that's how it started, really. And then I loved it. I enjoyed it. I used to train in the day, play the weekend. But then in the evening, twice a week, I coached under 14 or under 16. And then on a Sunday morning, I'll be taking Burnley under 14 or 15 or 16 to Carlisle, to Oldham Athletic, to Preston North End. We used to play those teams every Sunday. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed taking teams early age. And I kept on the coaching. I got my qualification quite early as well. Yeah. And probably it's a natural progress.
Definitely. Obviously, you had a successful season with Stevenage, and then obviously got sacked around the August, September time. How did the Oldham job come about? Because it seemed to happen very quickly on our side.
I think in football, things like that happen. It happened, obviously, we missed out the playoffs with Stevenage with 70 points the season before, with just 1 point. Oldham wasn't the only approach I've had. I've had a couple of other approaches as well from other clubs, because clubs they see, well, Dino looks doing all right with small budget at Stevenage, small club.
And he's
doing well in Football League. So Oldham wasn't the only one. I spoke to 2-3 other clubs as well. Who probably appreciated the work I've done at Stevenage, and they were surprised I got the sack after 7 games from Stevenage the following season. And Oldham probably, how I looked at it is Oldham a huge potential, because Oldham Athletic, I remember, he was in the Premier League. Yeah. I know the Boundary Park really well. I know North West really well. I know the fan base. I know all those things. I know Joe Royal took them to Wembley a few times, and you know the fan base is huge. And I knew club was a, I thought it was a club as low as he can get it, because when I took over, I think they were 23rd in League Two. I knew the club couldn't be any lower, and the only way is to take them forward. And that's probably what attracted me to the job.
So it's obviously the history as well. That's obviously attracted you, Dino. Because obviously the history of the club as well. Obviously, did that make your decision to really come and join us?
I think looking back at it, I think 30 years without winning trophy. Yeah. I totally believed, and I was determined, I'm going to deliver that first trophy to Oldham Athletic. I was certain I'm going to do that. And I think that was always was the bigger picture. So you have the obstacle on the way, but I'm always, my focus is on that. My focus is one day, open top bus through Oldham Town. The town is blue and white, and we've got a trophy. That is always in my vision for Oldham Athletic. And I really...
Man and Brad's biggest dream, that.
Well, that's what was driving me, and I can share that with you now, because back then people would say, you know, there's so many problems, you can't think that far. But me, I was always thinking, go through this obstacle, because the prize is too big. The prize was big. I was certain I was going to deliver that. I was determined to do that. And I'm, you know, it's easy for me to say now, but I'm certain I would have been up there this season.
Well, we all thought that, Dino, but, you know, obviously it didn't work out. Like, obviously, your debut as a manager came against, was it Morecambe, weren't it?
Morecambe, yeah.
And obviously, I think we won 3-1, I think, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah.
I think we did. And it was a great performance. And even, I remember you being on the pitch at full time, clapping. And I said, you know what? This is a gaffer I like. You come on, you showed true passion. And that's what we've missed for a long time at Latics. Someone, a manager with a passion. And I was really excited by your appearance on that day as well. I thought, you know, and we played some superb stuff that day, if I can remember. Absolutely superb.
Yeah.
What did you make of your debut?
I think when I took the job, I knew where the problem was. The club was very disconnected. The fans and the football clubs were disconnected. I knew the only way to be successful is to bring them together. Yeah. I took it upon myself. The chairman didn't tell me that. The fans, I took that. And obviously, you know, maybe it cost me the job at the end of it, but I knew that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to build connection. I want to go on the pitch, thank the fans after a home and away games. Win, lose, draw, always want to thank the fans. I took a lot of stick, deservedly so. I always, it never bothered me when the fans gave me stick, because my job is to deliver winning performance. And I know the fans, they want to see winning football. It's not personal. I never took it personal. Yeah. It's always about the... So I took it, and I clapped them. You know, I remember the Salford, probably you remember it as well, away from home when we drew 1-1. And that was quite a tough day for all of us. But I still go to the fans, and, you know, I got slated that day, if I remember rightly.
I got slated that day.
Yeah, but I knew, though, because I felt the day before, the club decided to release a statement, I think you all remember it, about closing the stand. And on the Friday, I was against that because I knew it was a big game at Salford. I knew that's a pressure we didn't need. And I think releasing that statement on that Friday, I thought it was premature, and I felt that probably caused that day to be how it was, how hostile it was.
Yeah.
And I understood that. And after the game, I made it clear, we got to come together. And that message wasn't just for the fans.
Yeah.
It was for hierarchy of the football club, and for our fans as well. I was between you. And obviously, you know, remember, the closer I am to the fans, I felt, the further I am from the owner.
Yeah.
So I have to get that connection together. It's really, really difficult. But I believed I'm the man, and I have the personality, the character to do that. I was big enough, strong enough, and ugly enough to do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I've always... And I think the true Oldham fans will know that I wore my heart in my sleeve. I'm passionate similar way. I never forget, in my third game, I think, to Mansfield, we had two players sent off first half. We were losing 6-1, and our fans that day, and I'll say they're the best fans, they're the best fans in the country. And I'm sure if you were there at the game.
I was on motorway at the time.
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes after the game, and our fans were singing. And that day really was a big drive for me to take the Super Club forward.
Definitely, definitely. You said a few times, though, obviously, you felt like you was stuck between the chairman and the fans. I think one of the first things, obviously, when that was seen, it was more off the field, was that fans forum at Royton. Obviously, you were very new to the job then. How was it for you? How was it for yourself there?
It was quite a bizarre situation, really. It was bizarre having 7 or 8 or 9 of us on the table and the fans at the front. I felt straight away when he put like a stage and a table between us, there is a disconnection straight away, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's how I see things. I think we should be together rather than us sat there on the table and you fans are down there. That was my first observation, if I remember rightly. And obviously, you know, it was quite hostile, rightly so. The fans got a question to ask, is that a football club? They put their money, they travel home and away. Obviously, the owner, they put their money as well, and they invested heavily in the football club as well. I thought it could have been, there would have been a better way to get them together, if that makes sense, without being that hostile.
Obviously, that night, Dino, I remember you saying it was good to be there to meet the fans, meet everyone. Do you regret going now?
No, I don't regret going because that gave me...
With it being insight. So hostile?
No, it gave me clear insight, closer insight in terms of what is the real problem, the deeper root of the problem is.
Yeah.
And that helped me to get to grip to the job, if that makes sense. Well, I would have liked to do more fans forum myself and speak to the fans more, get engaged with them more. I was really big in getting the town with the football club. Massive. Yeah. I was big on that. But it wasn't easy. I wasn't always allowed to do that. I was very restricted, and I didn't understand that because I'm thinking, well, listen, if you want 3,000 or 4,000 season ticket holder, I was willing to go to house, deliver a season ticket, do everything possible, be part of the community because I understand how huge that would have been for Oldham Athletic. And for some reason, whatever, I tried to lead from the front, if that makes sense, and tried to use my initiative, knowing the Northwest, knowing the club, knowing what winning looks like for the football club. I tried to implement that at the football club, but I wasn't always allowed. It wasn't easy, you know?
No. Well, obviously, when you came in, obviously, what did you think like you inherited the squad? Because obviously, did you feel like you inherited a poor squad, a mediocre, or did you inherit a good squad? And obviously, you brought in the likes of like Chris McCann, you know, what do you feel of the squad you first came in?
First, I respect every member of squad that I worked with. Like I said, as a human being, I thought they tried their best. They gave everything they got. In terms of the quality, I think is well broadcasted. The quality wasn't to actually stay in League Two at the time when I took the job, never mind to win promotion out of League Two. Obviously, the club has been, they had this recruitment process for the last 3 years, for 3 years previously to me. They had over 300 players through the door. It was quite a mess. And when I came in, I think I had about 32 players, I think I had. I had about 11 or 12 wide players, wingers, same position. I had 3 left backs. Nice. I had 2 right backs, I had 3 goalkeepers, but down the spine of the team, the spine where I normally build my team through centre backs, centre mids and centre forward. I remember I've only had 3 centre forward, which is Desiree, Scott Wilson and Erko Vera. And then in midfield, I only had Missilu and Mo. And then at the back, only David Wieter, Thomas, and who's the French big boy, the French who never played?
Sefil.
So So when I looked at that spine, it really scared me because we lacked experience at the level.
Yeah.
You know, the technical and you know the quality. I know what League Two looks like to get, you know, and I thought we really lacked in the spine of the team. The squad was very imbalanced. I think everybody know that. It's well known. So when I looked at the squad, I seen that. My job kind of changed slightly. I'm thinking, well, we are in trouble here. So what I need to do is get as many points as possible till January. And January, I need to move a lot out to get a lot in. Obviously, that wasn't easy because some of those players, you know, the hierarchy of the club signed them. And they took that personally. If they sign someone and I say that someone is not good enough, they can take that personally, can't they?
Yeah.
So that wasn't easy to try to convince them that these players aren't what Oldham Athletic needed at that time. That wasn't easy to sell that idea, but I managed to change enough in January to get the like of Chris McCann, Cal Pigiani, Cameron Botha-Jackson, Danny Rowe, Zach Durnley, to get those players who understand what it takes to go to Stevenage on Tuesday night, to go to those places and get a result. And we managed to turn it around. I think my last 12 games, we lost three, I think, in my last 12 games. We actually, when we got it going at home, my last three home games, we beat Mansfield 3-0 or 3-1. We beat Bradford 3-0 or 3-1, I think. We beat Newport 5-1. So we got it going. We got to system 4-4-2. My team was, you know, Zeus or Woodsy in goal with the back four of Hamer, Cameron, Borthwick, Jackson, Wita and Pigiani, with Chris McCann and Mo in midfield, with Givaro, Johnny Smith, Danny Rowe and Zach Durney. That team, it was consistent. It was delivering. We were playing a certain type of football. We got it together, if that makes sense. And I believe that in the summer, if I keep the core of that squad and add some quality to it, and I met those players, and I can see those players doing well in League 2 and League 1 now that are supposed to be Oldham players, I strongly believe that would be top three this season without a shadow of a doubt. I was really ready for that this season. And, you know, unfortunately, it happened, and it happened in football.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Obviously, I think one of the main signs, I think he's probably the best midfielder in the league last season, that was Chris McCann. He was unbelievable what he could do, his vision and stuff like that. And like you said, that if you look at the teams who are top of League Two this season, they've all got experience. Like at Cambridge, Wes Hoolan, Tranmere, they've got Jay Spearing. Every team needs that experienced player, and it feels like Christmas camp, we have that player.
Well, you know what? It really, I still feel it because I look at League Two this season. League Two this season is there for grabs. It's, you know, it's anybody. Nobody's taking it away. You look at the points per game. You look who's top of the league, and you're thinking, we could have easily been there because the previous season, League Two, they had some heavy, some big spenders. You know, the Swindon, the Plymouth. This season, there isn't any of those teams. Everybody on a level playing field. It would have been a real opportunity for Oldham to be up there this season. Real opportunity. Recruit well, which is, I have all the experience needed. I know every player in League Two, League One, National League, to bring into Oldham. And we attract players at Oldham because when we bring players there, we show them a stadium, we show them the history of the club, we sell them the vision, they're happy to come on board. It was never a hard sell to bring players to Oldham. And that's the disappointing thing because I think we would have had a real chance looking at the league this season.
Definitely, definitely. I 100% agree because, like you said, these teams are all over. Like you look at some of the top seven, like Markham, someone like that who's, more than likely, they're always favourites to get relegated, and they've managed to get a decent manager in Derek Adams, and he's doing well. And they're in the playoffs. Like you said, anything could happen. Obviously, you touched on before saying that you needed to get to January. You came into a bit of stick from the fans due to style of play, like away from home. Was it just to try and get as many points as possible until January? Was that the aim?
Well, I think the aim was. I knew what I've had. I knew the squad I've had. And I had two centre-forward, Scott Wilson and Desiree. And no, they're lovely lads, by the way, and they work their socks off every day, those two. Honest, all day long. But I know to be winning consistently League Two, you need proven forwards who score goals. Proven forwards. And you look at all League Two teams who's doing well, you look at their front line. We didn't have that. We know that. No disrespect to any player. We know we didn't have that. So I felt that I just need to get as many points possible and end up playing 4-3-3. I didn't have 4-4-2 to play with, to start with. The fans want 4-4-2. I want 4-4-2. 4-4 with one dropping in. I know the football I want to deliver. If I look back at the Newport game, the Mansfield game at home, the Bradford game with that team that I just named, that's the type of team I wanted to build, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Consistently play that way. And I think the fans and everybody would have been happy with that. But at the time, it's like when you got the wrong tools in your box and you keep going back to the same wrong tools, it just doesn't work. I need to change personnel. I need to change personnel. You could bring Jurgen Klopp, Jose Mourinho, Pep, and he wouldn't do much with that. And the reality is, look back, and actually, the people who signed, recruited all those players, decided in the summer to move them all out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So
yeah. No, absolutely.
By their own admission, they probably realized, well, actually, Dino was right about these players, so we're not going to keep them. So they recruited them. I didn't recruit them. They came before me. Whoever recruited them, I don't know who. But what I was saying is that we need better players. We need this is the squad. I had a squad builder, I remember, in the PowerPoint where what my fullback would look like, what my centre backs would look like, the quality they bring in, what the type of centre midfielders we need. That's how I want to recruit. So have the profile of that player and look for. So if I want an athletic centre midfielder, I want to say a 6'1" athletic centre midfielder box to box. So I look at those type of players available, and does he fit that profile? If he does, yes, let's talk to him. If he doesn't, not interested. A goalkeeper. I want a goalkeeper who's going to dominate his box. He's going to be 6'2", dominate his box. Who's going to be good with his feet? So can we find 3-4 with my staff, those keepers that potentially can come to Oldham, they fit into that profile, if that makes sense. That's my recruitment process was going to be like. I wanted to recruit good goalkeeper, solid centre-back, centre-mid and centre-forward, and the rest of it, build it with some flair players, some wide players you might get on loan from Premier League Championship clubs. They're not going to cost you, but my money was going to be on the main spine of the team. That's how I was going to build the squad.
Yeah, definitely. We do have a sporting director. Was he involved in the recruitment process? What was his role? Did he ever overrule you on that process?
I'll be honest, in January, they let me, I was allowed to recruit the players that I recruited. They were all my recruitment. Before that, with the previous manager, I don't know. I can only speculate, but I don't want to speculate. Yeah. So, but what I know is, the last 3 years, the club, we were counting numbers, they had about 300 players through the door, in and out, and some played, some didn't play. So it wasn't the right way to do it. But for the period I was there, in January, I recruited. In the summer, before I left, I met about between 16 to 20 players. I met them with potentially to sign them. Whenever I presented that, I never got yes or I never got no. And it was kind of probably makes sense now because I'm not sure what the plans were. Maybe they didn't want me to be involved in recruitment, and that's why I'm no longer Oldham Athletic Manager. But yeah, I was ready in the summer. I spoke to a lot of players, good players. Some of them play League One now, some of them play League Two now. They're all doing well, and it's just unfortunate. But in terms of recruitment, answer to your question, I've only had one transfer window in Oldham, which is January. In January, I was responsible for bringing all those players.
Well, obviously, touch about, obviously, the Crawley game, which was the last game before the pandemic obviously started. We went to play Swindon on the Saturday, if I can recall. Dino, if that pandemic wouldn't have happened, I know it's a thing to say, but where do you think we'd have finished if we could have finished that season off?
Well,
your honest opinion.
I think it's really disappointing how we finished off with the loss 3-0 to Crawley away.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify something with that game, without hurting anybody's feeling, without just stating fact. That was a really difficult week. Obviously, the club had a court case on the Friday. The future of the club was hanging in the balance. The players not been paid. The players got told 3 times they're going to get paid certain times, and they didn't get paid. The Friday, they were promised they're going to get paid before the Crawley game. They didn't get paid. We on the coach, we're travelling down. And actually, there was a chance where we're not going to play the game. So again, my job was, it wasn't about me, it was always about the football club, about Oldham and Oldham fans and Oldham Athletic. I worked really hard to convince the player to play that Saturday. And obviously, that's what people don't know in the background. And then we lose 3-0. Actually, that game, the first half, we were very good. And if Zach Burley scored 2-3 chances, we'd have won that game comfortably. Even their manager after the game, he was like thinking, you know what, that first half, you're the best team we're playing. But unfortunately, they scored the first goal. I think we had Wheater got injured and Cameron Borthwick-Jackson got injured, and we end up losing the game 3-0. Again, that's Crawley game. Coming back to your question, we had the Swindon after that. Our whole form improved massively from January going forward. And people will look at from the outside, and some of the fans as well, they think, well, we finished 19th with Dino. But actually, we didn't, because when I took the job, I think the team was 22nd or 23rd after 11 or 12 games. I was in charge for 28 games. I think that 28 games, we got 36 points. So over the 28 games that I was in charge, the team was 13th. In League Two.
So that's
over the 28 games that has took over. Very similar record to what you Oldham got now, actually. But we were, I calculated this after I left. So over the my 28 games, we were 13th in League Two.
Yeah.
And that's a fact because when we finished 19th, actually finished 19th because I took the club with 6 points from 11 games, the first 11 games of the season. So you can't really count that against me. When we finished, I was so confident. So confident that we'll finish top half. Top half might be 12th, but I was so confident with that because the players were in a good place. We knew all the problem was going on, but we were close-knit. We kept smaller squad. The team was more or less name itself week in, week out, which is really important. And like I said, I think we were really in a good place. But, you know, I can only say I was confident to finish in the top half that if the season finished.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you go on it. No, you go on about obviously towards the end of the season, Dino. Obviously, I want to mention Zach Durnley because obviously we still got him now. And obviously, what's his injuries like? Obviously, we haven't had a chance to speak to the current team or anyone at the club at the moment because of the pandemic. What's the problem with Durnley? What's his issues? Because he's always injured.
I was made aware of Zach Durnley availability in early January, I think. I can't remember the date. Or maybe late December. I can't remember the date exactly. Obviously, I knew Zach Durnley before because the previous season when I took Stevens to Oldham, he's played against us. So I remember, and I know him from Man United, but I remember more from Oldham the previous season. So when I was aware he's available, I brought him into the club and he trained with us a good 3 or 4 weeks. And we gave him a training plan. He was really, I like his attitude, Zach. He wanted to get fit and he got really fit in a good place with us. And we never had a problem with him in terms of fitness. But I knew that his hamstring, and we have to manage certain part of his body because he's, you know, he get those injuries. So I'm not sure I can't really judge this season. I don't know what they do in training. Yeah. I don't know what they don't do. But for me, he was fantastic player, Zach Durnley. Fantastic human being, fantastic player, hardworking, and I loved having him.
Yeah, I like him. It's just a shame his injuries, Dino. It's just, But obviously, I know you can't go on about this season. I just thought it might have been a reoccurring problem with his injuries from, obviously, the minute you signed him to obviously, well, now.
I think when you know his history, I'm not sure who the physio now. I know Stuart gone to Oldham, our physio last season. Sorry, gone to Blackpool. I think that's down as a backroom staff. They've got to know the players, their history and everything else, and they got to work around that to make the certain part of his body, or if his hamstring, they got to have a certain program to strengthen it, to prevent those injuries from happening, that makes sense. But like I said, I don't know that, but I know last season we were very careful how to work with Zach Durnley.
Definitely. Obviously, when the pandemic happened, I think it was from March to, I said, July time. Did you have any indication that you'd be sacked, or was you 100% believing that you would take this season?
Good question. It was quite bizarre because, again, I was in the middle between the hierarchy of the football club and the players. Obviously, the club wanted everybody to go on furlough, 100% furlough. I've got to make this clear because I don't want the players to come under. Remember, I've got to always see it from both sides. Yeah. Those footballers, all their mates at the Football League, what they agree, the furlough, say Newport players, I know. So Newport, their players and staff got on furlough, but the club top their wages. That makes sense. Some club, the players got on furlough and the club gave them an extra 30%, let's say. So they didn't get 100%. But players didn't lose as much as they would have done. But with our club, with Oldham at the time, and it was a lot of Zoom meeting going on, and I'm always in the middle of it, the club wanted the players to go on 100% furlough, which for some of them is a big hit, as you can imagine. And they know that no other football league club took 100% furlough, apart from us. So some of our players weren't happy with the process of how we went on about it. Obviously, and I was between them, and when I spoke, I've told, listen, this has got to be a personal thing because as the head coach manager, I'm going to take 100% furlough because I want the football club to survive. But you as individual, I can't force you because everyone's circumstance is different. Yeah. I took that because I was comfortable. I'm going to survive with my family on the furlough. I was comfortable with that. Some others maybe they couldn't. And I couldn't force them, everybody to take 100% furlough. So I almost took like a step back. I think we need to give everybody the freedom to make that decision because I can't force them. Was I under pressure from the hierarchy to get the play? Maybe I was. But I didn't feel that I needed to give in that pressure, if that makes sense. I want to make it clear, everybody's circumstances are different. And if a player not happy to take 100% furlough, they're not happy to take 100% furlough. Actually, the players, they accepted the 80% wages, rather 100%. So the players accepted the cut, 20% pay cut, if that makes sense. And I thought that was good enough for the football club to agree to it.
Yeah,
but they didn't, and that was quite a messy summer, messy 3-4 months probably. And did I know I always worked. I never got anything else. But apart from, I wasn't allowed to speak to. I think the trust. I suppose speak to the trust.
Yeah,
and then I wasn't allowed.
Well, I remember he got postponed. I think on the day he got announced, everyone was like, "Oh, we're away from Dean."
I wasn't allowed. So they spoke to the trust and no, we're not allowed to. So that I thought, oh, that's a bit strange. Did they not? Why do they not want me to speak to the fans? Because I want to speak to, you know, that time 3-4 months. I want to have as much engagement to our fans as possible. I was even willing to have a Zoom call from different people every day. I'm doing nothing anyway. So I wanted to connect with the fans. It's difficult for everybody. And I end up going on social media to do my own things anyway. But really, I want to do that through the football club. But we weren't allowed. It was really bizarre. Really bizarre how cut off the football club from the fans. And I felt it was real time to get everybody together. So that was strange. When I wasn't allowed to attend this with the trust, I felt that was a little bit bizarre. And then when I tried to start signing players, have plans for pre-season, nothing was forthcoming. But that's probably maybe my first summer with them. I wasn't sure how much they want to be hand on recruitment, because that was going to be the real test. Because I remember when I took the job, part of my agreement with them was keep the club in the division this season. The first thing was to keep the club in League Two. Second one was the following summer for me to have full control of recruitment to build the team to win promotion.
Yeah,
that was what I came for. So, so in the summer, it would have been too testing time to see if he was allowed to do that. And yeah. I think that's where the breakdown happened. That's where I wanted the control in terms of recruitment. And by the way, that's not like total control, because no, it's not that. I've always make them part for process. I ask, all I ask for, you tell me how much you want to spend, the club can afford to spend, and I will work within that to get the best player, the best value for money I can find with that money. Yeah. That was always clear to them. I don't want to bankrupt the club. Listen, I worked with Stevenage, the third lowest budget in the league.
Yeah.
No budget, also was Macclesfield and Morecambe at the time, and I got 7 points. I know how to get a bargain for a good player and get the most out of people. So all I've told them is, you tell me what you can afford, and we spoke about this throughout the summer, and I go, let me though, go and get the best player value for money. That's what I wanted. You decide the budget for me, and let me decide who to bring in. Then, if I don't do well the first 3-4 months, then get rid of me. If I'm not top three, top four, whatever, then you got every right to say, listen, we let you build the team, your team is not doing well, judge me with my team. That's the only thing I wanted.
Yeah.
And obviously that's where the breakdown, I think, where it happened, where I wasn't willing to have someone recruiting a team for me and me being judged on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Why should you be judged on someone else's recruitment? They're not your players, are they?
There we go, because yeah. I want to play a certain style. You know, I looked at, I made even a big presentation. I looked at the last 6 years, the team who got promoted from League Two, what their strengths are, certain things they did, what type of players they had. And I built all that over the last 6 years. I put together in presentation to know, right, to win League Two, we need to deliver, let's say, 50% from our goals is going to be from set plays. To win, to get promotion from League Two, we need 20 clean sheets in the season. So those are just as example, we need to deliver. To do that, I need certain type of players.
Yeah.
What's top seven, top three looks like, and I want to work from there, if that makes sense. And I want to build my group.
Yeah.
Through that.
Well, like you said, you know, obviously when you said that, obviously signing players, obviously you tried to sign in the summer, obviously because you said you didn't know how the club worked in the summer. Was you kind of shocked when you was obviously released your duties? Was you like, I can't believe it, or was you like, well, I kind of knew?
I was very shocked first. Then when that shock eventually gone, I felt like it's like the rug being pulled from under your feet, if that makes sense. I felt like I've gone through all the tough bit, all the rubbish bit, all the, you know, I've gone through, you know, you take the challenge, and in that challenge, I had to clear a lot of rubbish, basically. Not rubbish in terms of, just like you go through the mud, don't you? It's process. I had to go through a lot to get to the good bit. I thought the good bit now, I've got 6 or 7 players that I wanted to keep. And I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to bring another 6 or 7 players. And then I'm up there. You know, when I got the juicy bit, this is the juicy bits for me now. I've gone through all last season, all the problem with it. And now this is my bit. You know, I'm going to keep the core of the team, mechanics I wanted to keep, those type of players. And now that's it. Now it's going to be my squad. I was really excited, looking forward to it. And I felt like when the good bits came, the rug being pulled under my feet, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally do understand. We did have a couple of questions which were sent in from fans. Someone did ask, what was your best memory of Oldham?
I think the first day, the Morecambe game, always sticks out with me. Mansfield away. Not for the lost, but just the fans and the reaction. Salford away, and Crew away. It just to see that passion from the fans, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And all the time, I imagine if we were top of the league. Imagine we were top of the league. What would it be like? The biggest thing about Oldham, I think the fan base are unbelievable. It's one of the most passionate fans I've ever came across. And no disrespect to any of my former clubs, and I've been through big clubs, you know, Preston North End, the League One. And, you know, no disrespect to anybody, Preston fans are passionate as well. But I've seen nothing like the Oldham fans. Really care about the club, so passionate, despite all what they've been served, they're still so loyal, so driven, so hungry for success. So my memory of Oldham, it's all about the fans, all about them fans. Imagine you were top of the league with them fans. What force that would be. Imagine Oldham top of League Two or League One. Boundary Park would be bouncing every game. It'd be hostile environment. It'd be awesome, awesome, awesome. And listen, I took some stick from the fans, rightly so at times, and I loved it. I loved it because I love the passion. I love the passion of the fans. They're not happy. You know, they lose a game or draw in a game or they want winning. I love that because I'm like that. Not happy. I'm not happy unless I'm winning. So I kind of got on the same level with them with our passion, the same kind of passion. No aggression, but I think it's that desire and obsession of winning. I got on level with them and I got it. I understood it, although sometimes it was towards me, but I still loved it anyway.
Definitely, I 100% agree, because we always say, as fans, we always say, if players are showing working 100% and people are showing passion, the fans will always back the team. It's obviously the fans, we can drive it. There is something that, like on the away games and stuff like that, we can fill places and we can certainly go places.
Yeah, I think you got Oldham will always be a big club. Always will be a big club, Oldham, because of the fans and the fan base. And I say the players, owners, managers all come and go, but it's your football club. You got to look after it. You got to do the best for that football club. And you are doing that. And you're trying to do the right thing all the time. I totally get that. It's unfortunate, the period that you're going through. I'm not sure how you're going to play out. I'm really not. I don't know how. But the Latic fans deserve better, I feel. And hopefully the good days will come around. Hopefully, Anna. And hopefully I'll come back one day and I see Boundary Park bouncing.
Definitely, definitely agree. Someone did ask a question. I'm not obviously, if you are on Twitter, you might have seen it, the Dean Marms account. Were you ever involved?
No. I spoke to some fans. The first time I was aware of that account when Zach Zach's contract situation got exposed. And you know what I'm talking about, the Zach Mills contract situation last season.
Yeah.
That's the first time I got aware of that account. And then I felt like I thought it was someone from the football club because not many people would know that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, and obviously that was in February, March, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the very end. That's the first time I got made aware of. Did I go try and find out who he was? I made the club aware. I think I spoke to Natalie and says, well, this account, because Zach showed it to me, Zach Millsy showed it to me, and he says, look, before Newport game, if I remember correctly, and I says, well, how can they find that out so quick? How can that go through? Because I remember I left Zach out Newport game for that reason. And that came straight. So I knew that it must have been someone from the football club. And obviously, that was our last home game. You never got any further from that. And I don't know what's going on with it.
You're definitely not a part then, Dino. You're definitely not a part of it then. That's the first.
No, I'm I'm not a part of it. I'm not a part. Is it still going? Is it still going
it's
strong?
It's still there. They got all the transfer rumours right in January, just gone. So I don't know how they're getting the information. They're still there. It's still going.
Unfortunately, it can't be me then, can it?
Exactly.
Dino, I want to ask you, because obviously I look at the two former players you've now got at Burton Albion, which I loved him. Johnny Smith, one of the best wingers I've seen at Latin for a long time. And obviously now you've just took Aimer off us. Obviously, you obviously appreciated them at Latin, and obviously you've got him now at Burton Albion. What's he like at the new club then, for both of them?
Well, the first part is Burton Albion is a fantastic club. It's very different from Oldham. There is a real family to it, family feel to it. Everyone together, everybody smiling every day. The chairman is a fantastic, fantastic guy. He's one of the best chairmen that I came across in football. That's my first attraction, you know, from being a manager, head coach to becoming assistant. Probably that's the biggest pull for me, with the family feel to the football club, the values the club hold. They care about everybody. The chairman, how he leads with integrity, that really attracted me. Obviously it was a very difficult position. And now, you know, we deliver 3 wins in 4 and looking, we're heading in the right direction. And our recruitment, obviously, in January, I look at Tom Hamer. I thought he had a huge potential last season. I had clubs ringing, you know, from Championship ringing up about Tom Hamer last season. To see him this season not playing, barely playing. I know Tom Hamer, he's a top lad. He's hardworking, trains every day. Does he make mistakes? Yeah, he does. Is he perfect? No. But that's why he's in League Two. But I believe he got certain ingredient that I can develop to move him on the next level and maybe Championship one day. Because he got those ingredients. Johnny Smith is another one I worked with. He loved playing for me. I loved having him as my player. He thrived under my leadership. He was our top goal scorer by 11 goals. He was never regular in any other clubs he had in the past. I made him regulars. All I've told him is I just want end product. When you get the ball, attack, excite the fans, give me shots, give me goals. I used to talk about Ronaldo with him a lot. Look what he does. He doesn't really cross it, does he? He plays with purpose. He plays to score goals. And that really gave him that confidence. And no matter what, John, you're going to play. Even if you have a bad game this week, I'm going to pick you again. So that confidence that I gave him, he thrived on it last season. He loved it, enjoyed it, he scored a lot of goals. So when the chance came for me to bring him to Burton, it was an easy choice for Tom, because Tom enjoyed playing for me as well. And Johnny as well enjoyed playing for me. And for them, it was an easy pull to come on board to Burton.
Well, I wish you well. I wish you and Jimmy well at Burton. I really hope you get out of it. Dino, I think you will, and you'll probably see that we're going to get him beat as well, 4-0 on to Hull, so that might do you a bit of a favour tonight, Dino.
I think, you know, I've been in those situations so many times. Every club I took over, they're always at the bottom 2, bottom 3, bottom 4, every job I took, and you never take it for granted, but I've always done okay with those type of jobs. You know, Burton was more or less dead when we took over at the start of January. I think we're 9 points adrift. Or so. And now, all of a sudden, we could be out of the bottom 4 on Saturday if we beat Sunderland. Obviously, that's a big ask. We've got a whole new squad together. We're still gelling. We're still not playing our best football yet. But what we're doing, we are solid. We do the basics really well. And we're picking points while we're learning and while we're getting better. So I can only imagine we will get better. But like I said, League One, I think, it's really tough league. You know, last 4 games we played is we had Gillingham away, you have Ipswich, you have Hull City. The weekend was Northampton. We're familiar with Northampton, but some really big club this week was Sunderland. So it's really tough league with big, big clubs. But like I said, I think we put ourselves in much better position to keep the club in the division.
Sorry, go on, Brad.
Yeah, so obviously we do wish you well there. What is your final comment to Oldham fans, obviously, who are listening? Let you take that, Dino. What's your final thing to the Oldham fans?
I want to say that I absolutely love and adore every one of them. the positive one, the negative one. I think that I always appreciated their support, their backing, their criticism. I appreciated everything because I know deep down they want the best for the football club, because I saw those fans boo us. Then when we score, they gone mental. And like I spoke about Salford away, you know, Salford for 90 minutes, we were getting slated really. But when Danny Rose scored, the reaction was unbelievable. So for that reason, I love them. I love them to bits. Hopefully one day I come to meet them and I come and say a proper goodbye to them in Boundary Park in a better time, hopefully, and who knows in the future. I want to thank all the staff that I worked with at Oldham Athletic, from the cleaners to Jason, the guy who fixed everything. They were all fantastic people, so accommodating. From Mikey, the media guy, they love the football club. From Sue in the front desk, they're fantastic people. And I've never said goodbye to them properly. Hopefully I come one day and hug every one of them and thank them for all what they gave me, the love and support they gave me in a very, very difficult circumstances. They knew, they know, they've seen it firsthand how hard we worked to try and get the football club on the right track.
That's good, Irene. On me and Brad really appreciate, obviously, and the Oldham fans will appreciate you, mate, because we know, me and Brad know deep down as well, and a lot of Oldham fans do, Dino, your dedication and your commitment. We was even there in the Frizzle Bar when we had a fan with you and John Dreyer, if you remember. Yeah. Me and Brad were there that night, and we just can't ignore the passion, and that's something that we love. We love it, and, you know, I really hope one day, if things get a different, Dino, you could come back, and, you know, if it is a form, if you are coming back with a form with another club, so be it. You know, if it's us, I'd love it. But, you know, I appreciate your time, Dino. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Thank you both of you for giving me this opportunity. And like I said, I think since I left Oldham, I had a really difficult period, you know, and we all go through that. It's a difficult time, the pandemic and everything else. And the love and support I got from the older fans is absolutely second to none. And I never forget that. I never forget that. Hopefully one day I come and repay them and you know, say proper goodbye to us. But thank you, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you, speak to everybody. And I hope you all keep safe, stay positive. Hopefully the good times will come.
Definitely do. Appreciate your time there, Dino.
No worries. Brilliant. You've got the emotional, man.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers.